You hear that tapping, Joe? You hear that tapping sound?
Perfect.
You hear that? That means you have to come and listen.
Okay, it's
you have to listen.
This. It's not even on.
What isn't?
It was on?
I'm recording.
I can't hear myself. I can't hear myself.
You're not plugged in.
Oh my God.
It's because you, yeah.
Already failing at life.
Now it's garbage.
Just another movie night.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. We are Just Another Movie Night, and I am Scott, and with me is my love, Joe. What's up, Joe?
What's up, Scotty? Did I like make all that noise, and I was plugged in the whole time?
Yeah.
We were rolling the whole time?
Yes.
Oh, God. All right. Okay. Starting off great.
Hey, guess what? It's February, and we're giving love to friends, listeners, people who gives us suggestions. It's February. That means it's Valentine's Day, right?
Yeah.
And Valentine's Day means love. Sharing the love. Love of bad movies. Friendship. And you know what? We've been on a roll. This month in February, we took the suggestions of our friend Viking Ken on Instagram, who suggested four movies, and we've watched all four, and today is the last of the suggestions. We're finally out. Well, I can see the light. Because wow. When we ask that question, what's the worst movie I've ever seen? We don't get good suggestions. We pretty much get movies that are like, passable, seen worse. But this time, we were on a roller coaster of maybe some of the worst stuff we've watched.
Oh, yeah. These were really good suggestions, Ken, because honestly, it's been a craptacular adventure.
Well, look, in this time, we were a little worried, and we're going to talk about it a little bit, because we were going from like an up and down. First, it was like, oh, this is the worst. Then we watched another one. Oh, no, this is way worse. Then we watched another one and went, oh, my God, is this worse?
And I said to you, what did I say to you? We can only go up from here.
Yes. And so I'm very happy today. So today we are talking about a movie with the tagline, he seduces them in his mind and traps them in his crawl space. Yep. And by the way, none of that happens.
No.
Yep, it's 1986's Crawl Space. It has a 5.3 on IMDb from 4,000 reviewers. Oh, it's directed and written by David Schmoller. I'm hoping that's how you say his name.
I think you're right. Yeah, Schmoller.
Yeah, he's the director of Tourist Trap and Puppet Master.
Okay.
And guess what? We thought we were gone. We thought we were done. But he brought us back. It was produced by Charles Band. So this is the third movie. And Ken, look, we're with you, man. We love Charles Band as well. We might have been one of his movies. We don't even know. We haven't seen it yet. We don't know if we're in the background. We could actually be one of his films. So, yeah, we like him too. So I get the whole idea of how these could be some of the worst, because they are definitely, especially the ones in the 2000s, are these cheaply made quick out ones, and that's what we had the first two movies of the month. But now we're back in the 80s, and I think we're all better for it.
The 80s is my favorite decade, so we couldn't have ended better.
And this is from the director of two movies of Charles Band's that I think have a similar thing to this movie that we're gonna find out as we go along with this movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, something in common here.
Well, there's something in common with all three. I think we'll talk about that in the end or whatever. Unless you want to get into it right now. Do you want to get through the plot first?
I mean, okay. Well, yeah.
Let's get into the plot.
Go through
because
the plot of this movie.
I have so much. So much.
You tell us your trivia.
Well, let's start off the movie how it starts. Okay. We start off in the best fashion. with a woman walking around in a what looks like a hotel or an apartment building. We really don't know, because the movie just jumps right in.
Yeah.
Doesn't even give us a second. It's just like, no, we're getting involved. We follow this woman, unnamed. We don't know who she is. She's walking around like she's looking for something, or something has happened. We don't know. And she goes up to the top floor, which I believe is an attic.
It's an attic.
Okay, that's very important, because we're never exactly shown that, but I think we can piece it, because the...
It definitely looks like an attic.
The locations of this movie are very sus.
Yeah.
Since it all takes place in the same area.
Yeah.
So this woman goes up into this, goes to this door to the attic, I guess we're seeing. It's a dark room. Like every attic you've ever seen, it's just got junk everywhere. Like it's the storage space. But what's funny is that we go through a progression of cages.
Yeah.
You know what? We didn't even say this is talking trash.
Okay. Well, we're talking trash.
I knew it. I was too excited. I was too excited to even explain this, what we're doing today.
I mean, I think everybody gets it at this point.
Hey, everybody, look it. This is talking trash. This is where we talk about the movies. We spoil, review, debate, crap on, give second chances to the hated, the lowest rated, the much debated, and the often forgotten flicks on the internet. All while asking the question, is it the worst movie ever made? And if not, what is? Because here on the show, we truly believe you can't review films unless you know what the worst is. Yada, yada, yada. Okay, I'm excited. Let's get back into the movie now. So, yeah, this is a funny-ass progression of from bad to worse in cages. Like, first we see, like, a cage of rats.
Yeah, I was like, oh, Lord, we're not going to have this throughout the whole movie, are we?
We keep seeing, like, funny-ass progression. There's, like, a cat, a cage of rats. And then they're like, well, that's terrible. Like, we know we're on a bad, you know, upward trajectory here. And then all of a sudden, a human being.
There's a human being in a cage.
Just a human being in a cage.
Do we know? Okay. They don't even try to explain that one, the human being in a cage. She or he is just there.
It's a she. Definitely named Martha. The actress is played by Sally. The actress's name is Sally Brown. She plays Martha in this. And is just what we can only assume is a tortured, kidnapped woman who maybe been one of these victims that he just keeps.
Okay.
We don't know why. We don't really get a lot of that.
No.
This person can't speak, so I'm guessing their tongue has been cut out.
Yeah, they actually say the tongue's been cut out.
Okay. Well, this woman sees all of this and is startled, well, of course. And then we're excited. Because we're like, what is this movie about to be? This is a wild way to start. But it gets even better, because all of a sudden she steps in a mousetrap of some sort.
Like a human mouse trap.
Yes, because a huge harpoon shoots up.
Gets impaled by a harpoon. We don't know anything about this woman. The movie just starts out like this.
Yeah, she's like, impaled and lifted up into the air, and we just start the movie like that. And then we get, which is, now that's a great way to open a film. You're already in. You're like,
yeah,
oh,
I think
wow.
So too, because like I was like, all right, this is starting very strong. We're good. We're in good shape right now.
And then we got the title sequence, which is kind of a bad sign, because we just travel around for way too long, maybe 2 minutes of title cards.
Charles Band is famous for this.
Every director, anybody who wants to pad time, this movie is only an hour and 20 minutes, so you know he's padding time.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
This is one of the famous paddings of time, is the end credits and the beginning credits, which you get everything, everybody who's a part of this movie, and it's traveling through the air vents, which we will spend a lot of time in this movie.
Wait, the crawl
the
space?
The crawl space.
Okay, when I think of crawl space, I do not at all picture air vents. I think crawl space is like the little cubby we have underneath our stairs.
Because you're a rational human being.
That's a crawl space.
Yeah, well, some people think air vents are just like what the team of the Nostromo like had to go through.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. If you're fighting aliens, you famously have to go in standing tall air vents shafts.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like the Colonial Marines had to do in Aliens.
Yeah.
Yep. No, these are air vents. But, yeah, so anyway.
But they're like human-sized crawl spaces.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it is. I mean, there is no air conditioning coming through these vents.
No, there's
Yeah, there's no air, central air at all, because it wouldn't work.
No.
Yeah. So I guess that's just one of the girls' problems that live in this apartment building. But, yeah, that, we get it. And the next thing we get is introduced to our lead villain.
Okay, Mr. Butler? What's his name again?
Oh, no. His name is Carl Gunther.
Gunther. Yeah,
Gunther, you know, like in Adventure Time.
Ah, Gunther.
Mr. Gunther?
What's taking that doctor so long? Gunther, make more noise. Yeah, all right. Don't oversell it, drama queen.
Yeah, okay, this character is played by Klaus Kinski.
What a name.
Wow. I fell down the rabbit hole of Klaus Kinski's career.
Klinky.
Colonel Klink.
Klaus Kinski.
Yeah. Okay, I have this really funny trivia. It says he turned down the role of the German villain in The Raiders of the Lost Ark. Although he wanted to do the movie with Spielberg, he thought the script is a moronically shitty as so many other flicks of its ilk.
Wow. Dang.
And instead, he chose to appear in a movie called Venom from 1981. And I just want to read this is the synopsis to Venom. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Terrorists in the process of kidnapping a child get trapped in a house with an extremely deadly snake.
Wow.
He chose that over Raiders of the Lost Ark and called Raiders of the Lost Ark shit.
Oh,
moronically shitty.
Wow.
But he took the deadly snake in a kidnappers movie.
Wow.
Which I added to my watch list instantly, by the way.
Holy shit.
He's
made some, like, I mean, a lot of these on his list, on his IMDb. They're pretty watchable.
I was just going to say that he played in Nosferatu. He was Count Dracula in Nosferatu, the remake from Werner Herzog, the 1979 adaptation of it. That's because he grew up in a house with him when they were kids. They lived in a house of like 11 children.
Wow.
They weren't family. So he grew up with him and did 5 films with him over his career.
Oh my goodness.
He died of a heart attack at 65, only 5 years later from this movie. And apparently he was not a good person. No producers, book writers, anybody could not get along with this guy.
I mean,
even his kids hate his guts.
He's made a lot of movies, though. His own children hate his guts?
Yeah, one of them wrote a book about how he sexually molested her. So,
no.
Yeah, who knows? Only one of his 3 children attended his funeral, apparently.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And now a clip from director-filmmaker Werner Herzog talking about the man in an interview with Paul Holdengrubber.
I give you an example, and I mean, it shows the amount of egomania in the man. We distributed in our camp in the jungle breakfast on days where there was no shooting, and each hut would have coffee and the camera people and then the light people and the sound people, and in a row, in a certain sequence of things. And, of course, the last hut would only have the lukewarm coffee. So we changed order. On that very day, Kinski was the last in line. His coffee was lukewarm. And I heard him screaming from 300 feet away, out of his mind, because his coffee was lukewarm. But the situation was this. We had a plane crash. And we had a radio, a shortwave radio, which was only garbled messages. We knew something cataclysmic had happened. We only knew the plane was down, 6 people in it. We tried to figure out where was it, can we send out a rescue party? Kinski arrives screaming, already foam at his mouth, and steps that close in my face and yells at me for an hour and a half. And I try to persuade him, I try to say, Klaus, we have a plane down. six people may be dead. We have to organize a search party. And he would yell about his lukewarm coffee. He would yell about this. And I outperformed him. You know what? I went to my hut because I had one last piece of Toblerone, this triangular Swiss chocolate, which was of the highest value in the jungle. I mean, I had kept it for weeks and weeks, hid it away, wrapped it away against the ants and so, and I had this. And I came back with this piece of chocolate and I peeled off the foil of it and ate it right. I stepped that close into his face and ate the piece of chocolate. And that was too much for him. He just fell silent. He left.
He is unsettling in this film.
And that's an understatement,
everything,
man.
Everything I read here, I was like, yeah, I can see all of this.
I can. Yeah. I can see it. There's something wrong with him.
I can see why Spielberg wanted to cast him as the bad guy Nazi.
I mean, it's fitting. There's a theme here. Nazi seems to be a theme here.
Especially with this actor, apparently.
With this actor. Yeah.
He is unsettling, just insanely creepy, and man, is it work in this film. He is, you feel icky every time he's in this shot.
I mean, I definitely do.
And he's in the shot 90% of the time.
He's absolutely terrifying, this guy. I mean, just, you know, I don't like to judge actors and stuff like based on like just their face and like how they look, but I can tell you right now, like, I can understand why people are afraid of him.
Yeah,
because he definitely has that menacing look to him. He's creepy. He's straight up creepy.
Yeah, he is a an unmustachioed Nosferatu. So we now cut to a person. Apparently, we see a for rent sign on the apartment. Mm-hmm. And that's our intro into the movie when we see this guy. And the way I shouldn't have said that. The first thing we actually see is a woman in her room, looking at herself in lingerie in a mirror. Now, the thing that was really amazing about this is that we have to talk about the space of what's happening in this room, because we were instantly baffled, right? We have an open door, right, to her apartment. Mm-hmm. In the hallway of the open door is an open window blowing in the wind.
Right? I don't know where this window came from.
The curtains are just blowing in the wind. It's a giant window in the middle of the hallway. Then she has an actual window.
In her apartment.
Her actual windows.
In her bedroom.
All the shades are open. But the best part about this is one window is completely wide open and there's a gentleman sitting outside the window smoking a cigarette watching her undress.
Like, he literally is in the window, yes, like with his arms like resting in the window. Like, how do you not see this?
But or then smell it.
One of the most unsettling scenes happens now and I still can't even get over it. She is looking at herself, you know, checking herself out. She takes scissors, Scotty, and cuts her bra right where her nipples are.
Well, she's pinching and pulling to cut it. It looks, because of the angle, like she's cutting it against her own skin.
Oh, my God. I was cringing. I was squirming. I was holding my boobies.
I assumed that you were more creeped out about her ruining her actual bra.
Well, you know, a good one is a hard thing to find.
I mean,
I've been searching for the perfect bra forever. And I got to tell you, when she cut that pretty bra, I was like, not only was I completely terrified she was going to cut her nip, but it was just too close for comfort for me. Like, I just couldn't take it. But the bra itself was pretty. Like, why did you fuck that up?
What I love is a cheer. And she's like, you know what, though? Not enough nipple exposure.
Right, so if she let me make nip holes. So she had nip holes, and she thought she was like country, a real like
proud nipple.
It's so silly. I mean, like, honestly, okay, so you have your nips out. Okay, so what's the reasoning?
Yeah, but we didn't add the one more thing that was happening. We already said open door, hallway window, open shutter shades, man in window. Well, there's also another man, which is our lead bad guy, in the air vent, staring out of the air vent.
and staring at her.
Yeah, he's just watching her in the creepiest fashion you can imagine. By the way, I guess we should explain him a little bit. Think Tommy Wiseau, but what if he had a fake white wig? That's how I saw this guy.
Okay.
He looks like a couple actors smashed up. I kept thinking Tommy Wiseau and the guy that burned himself while he was on acid. We've talked about this actor many, many times. He was in that Chuck Norris movie.
Oh, yeah. We love that actor.
Yeah. He was in Puppet Master. He actually is in the third one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no,
he reminded me of him with white hair.
Tommy Wiseau. You know, I think maybe he could look like Tommy Wiseau.
It's like these two actors smashed together.
It's weird.
And he's
creepy.
He's very, very creepy. He's got these wide eyes and he is sitting in that air vent. Now, she couldn't hear him crawling and she can't feel that he's staring at her.
Yeah.
But what's weird is she doesn't feel him and she doesn't feel the other guy in the window. But what she feels is that someone's in the hallway with the open door. So she goes out there and looks, you know, and then when she finally goes, no, no one's there. She shuts it. That's when the guy jumps through the window and he holds her at knife, like with a switchblade, and says that, you know, he's going to take it, you know, he's going to molest her. Right. And throws her on the bed.
That was a point that we looked at each other and realized, okay, this is some role play. She knew he was there.
Yeah.
You know, this is a game.
But she didn't know he was there. Now, the only thing, the logical thing here is to say that she knew he was there because he's smoking a cigarette in his window. This is like a what's his face in Scream when he keeps sneaking in Sydney's room every time.
Yeah.
You could just see him. He's just sitting there. He's got a little spot. And by the way, what floor are they on?
Yeah. So I think her apartment's on the bottom floor.
I thought that too, but I just now I'm not thinking it is.
But how would that still make sense? So if her apartment was on the bottom floor and he crawled in through the window.
That's just him coming through. He's just walking into it.
Yeah.
He's not on anything. She is on the first floor because later on we do see that again. And then he is outside on the bottom floor. I forgot about that sequence. Okay. So I was wondering about that. So he's just standing there. Mm-hmm. Although he looks like he's sitting at the window.
He's enjoying the show. Yeah. The bra cutting.
So she knew he was coming, but she's mad at him. And this is what ruins it. Because if they were role playing, she would have known he was there. And that she was playing along, which would have made sense for the scene. Instead, she says to him, can't you take the front? Can't you come in the front door for once? So I was like, she didn't know this guy was sitting there smoking a cigarette. She couldn't even smell it.
I know. I mean, come on. Because movie.
Yeah. But they have sex. And it's typical hilarious sex, movie sex. Because there's like, we see the feet. And at one point, it looks like there's another pair of feet in the bed.
Okay, there was no less than 6 feet in this bed, okay?
Because the positioning is so off that it was confusing.
No, I'm sorry. The position, so she was on the bottom. I need someone to reenact this. I think we're going to try and reenact this. So she was on the bottom, okay? And he's on the top, but her foot was twisted, like... It was like twisted, like almost underneath her. And then his foot was also twisted and he was on top. So it looked like his toes were standing upright.
He would, yeah, it did. He would have to be having sex with her thigh.
He went to the Tommy Wiseau school
of
sex.
And maybe that's why I keep thinking of Tommy Wiseau during this movie. I don't know. I don't know.
Belly button sex.
He is grinding her thigh.
Oh my God.
It's comical. It's a really weird and awkward sequence.
What did you say about guys? You know, you said something.
Well, I had to apologize for me and all men in the world because this guy was like struggling.
I'm going to come.
Not yet. I'm not ready.
I don't think I can hold it back, so.
You have to. Not ready yet.
Come, Sophie.
Oh, think of something. I'm not ready.
Think of what? All I can think of is coming. I don't think I can hold it back.
Don't you dare come, Hank Peterson. Are you thinking?
Yes.
What are you thinking?
I don't know. Alaskan zombies.
Oh, that's good. I think I'm getting closer. Come now.
And I felt bad, and I was embarrassed for everybody. Everybody involved.
Oh, God.
All mankind.
Oh,
so, yeah, he, This doesn't seem to please Mr. Air Vent, Mr. Klinsky, whatever his name is, Colonel Klink.
Gunther. Colonel Klink.
So he goes and crawls back to his apartment, you know, and I guess he crawls up to the attic, and that person in his cage, we kind of get like moments with them. He's writing, he's got an obsession. He writes in his book about, he narrates like his trauma about how he's a serial killer.
Yeah.
And then he's got addiction to killing.
He openly says it. So like we're in the first 10 minutes of this film and we already know that he's a murderer. Like, yeah. I mean, he just admits it.
Yeah. He actually plays Russian roulette where he cuts his own finger and puts blood on a bullet with his name on it.
Mm-hmm.
And he puts it into a gun and spins it. And he sits in an incredible room of black and white tile, white walls, like an insane asylum.
Yeah, now where is this room?
Is this his apartment?
No.
We don't see it. I don't know
we
if this
saw
is
his apartment.
I know it doesn't, this room isn't there, is what I'm saying. We don't see this room.
True.
It kept making me think, is this his headspace? Is this the taglines quote of, oh, he seduces them in his mind and traps them in his crawl space.
Oh my God.
I don't know what he plays Russian roulette and he's hoping to die. But every time he doesn't get killed, he says, so be it.
So be it.
I'll keep killing.
So be it.
The person in the cage is just, I feel so bad for this person. And, you know, they have to play with bugs. He's trying to force feed it her. And she has a note for him and it says, please kill me.
Yeah.
And he says, I can't kill you. Who else would I talk to?
Which is so weird because he's literally, like, he spends more time talking to himself, it seems.
Yeah, they never like, have scenes.
Yeah, like narrating in his novel or his journal or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, he has more scenes like that. Like, he barely interacts with that woman in the cage. Barely.
Yeah.
We don't even see it unless he's, like, feeding her. But otherwise, like, it's just a weird situation. Like, why even have this person? It's so weird.
Yeah.
Though we slowly start to learn about that this apartment, there's an empty apartment that's for rent.
Well, I guess it's because of the person who died in the mousetrap in the beginning.
Yeah, I'm guessing
and
that.
And so they're renting her place. And the first person we see go to this guy's door, knock on it, is actually the director.
Oh, was that the director?
And he says, hey, is your apartment for rent still? And he goes, no. He looks him up and down and sees it's the man. And he's like, no.
No, it's been rented.
So the director walks away pissed off and bumps into our lead actress.
Yeah. And so what's her name? What's the lead actress's name?
Oh, we didn't even talk about who the actress was in the room having sex. I forgot about that, too.
Do we know her?
Lori Bancroft. She's playing. The character's name is Lori Bancroft, and she's played by Talia Balsam.
Yeah,
and she was on Mad Men. We don't really. I haven't seen her in anything before.
Oh, okay.
But she was on 14 episodes of Mad Men.
Oh, okay.
She comes to the door, and she gets the room instantly. This guy finds her very attractive and instantly wants to give it to her. So he actually takes her to the room. Is extremely creepy meeting.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many signs that this woman should get away from him.
Oh my God. Okay. First of all, I hate to be this person, but the way he looks at her, like she's delicious.
Yeah. He says, I know you and you look beautiful.
Yeah. No. That is your number one sign in neon flashing to get out of there, and she just thinks nothing of it. Like, if I took one look at this guy, I would be like, you know what, yeah he's a killer.
Exactly.
There's something wrong with him. And the way he like looks at her like she's just like a plate of freaking sausage. No, I don't like it. So he rents her the fucking apartment. What? She takes the apartment.
It gets even weirder because she brings him, she goes and looks at the apartment. It's an amazing apartment, and she's going to college right on nearby in campus.
Yeah.
And she's like, whatever. But he actually she tells him the last place she stayed out was really bad. It looked like Count Dracula lived across the street. ha ha ha, he played Count Dracula. But I was like laughing. I was like, was there a prequel? Was there another movie that she could have been in? I don't know.
Oh, God.
I had to look it up. So she, while he's like, he turns his back to her while she's looking at the cabinets and turns on the stove and burns his hand and it's smoking. And I kept thinking, you can smell human flesh.
How do you not smell burning flesh? I could tell you, I dropped some felt on my leg when I was making hair bows. And I could tell you, it had hot glue on it. There was no way you can smell that. It stunk. My skin was burning off. I'm just like, okay, this is just another...
Yeah, how does she not know?
This chick is going to be just another dumb victim.
Yeah. Two other women see that she's going to get the apartment, and they're staying outside one apartment, and they make a joke about how Colonel Klink loves his women. Gunther. Gunther likes his women.
Yeah, because he only rents the freaking apartments to women.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, that right there is warning sign number two that there's something wrong with this man. I mean, obviously, his apartment looks like it's still from 1932. Like, nothing's changed in it.
Oh, inside his place?
Yeah. Yes. So there's something wrong with this guy, obviously. Nobody seems to even care.
Yeah. What we get is like slow stalking of each character in their crawl space.
Their air vents. So he's crawling through this. First of all,
obsessed with rats, by the way.
He's not a young man either.
No.
He's not a young man. He's crawling through these air vents so he can spy on them. But like, what is the end result of the spying? Like, he's not like getting turned on by it.
He's obsessed with killing, and he likes killing young women. And so what we start learning is that the guy is pretty damn good at traps. This might be Jigsaw's father. I don't know, but his traps are insane. We don't get enough of them, but when they start happening, you're like, holy shit, that is some evil, sick shit, you know?
Yeah.
And as we start getting more of him spying, all the women in the building, which is only seems to be four women in the building, the one that was the one that cut the nips.
Her name is Sophie.
Yeah, the actress is Tane McClure. She played Vicky in Death Spa, Holly in Go, and she's Elle's mother in Legally Blonde.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she actually wrote the songs in The Terminator. Isn't this a weird trivia? What? She wrote the songs in Terminator, Photoplay, and Burning in the Third Degree.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Those must be ones that they played in the club with Sarah Connor. I was thinking the
same thing.
Sarah Connor went in to get away from the Terminator, or get away from, who was she running from at that point? Kyle Reese?
Well, yeah, she didn't know what was happening.
Right, she didn't know what was happening.
All right, now listen, Miss Connor. Now listen carefully. You're in a public place, so you'll be safe till we get there, but stay visible. Don't go outside or even to the restroom. I'll have a car there in a hot minute.
Okay.
But I thought that was really weird because she sings in this movie, which is one of the most jarring moments. She is the other two women. There is another actress. I think the character's name is Jessica. The actress's name is Carol Francis. She's playing Jessica. And there's also Barbara Winry, I believe you pronounce her name.
Is that the one that looks like she has a mullet and she looks like she stepped right out of like...
I guess so. She was in The Wolf of Snow Hollow, which we actually really like. It's a movie that I don't think a lot of people have seen.
Oh.
It's actually pretty
good. They gave her unfortunate hair in this. Like, yeah,
she's a character named Harriet. She kind of disappears. She's got a sweet tooth. That's her thing. Yeah. As we find out, each character's got a little thing. And Harriet is obsessed with... She has a cake party for all the girls in the apartment.
So what's weird is the new girl gets invited by them to a sweet party. And the funny thing about this is that they're all sitting there around the coffee table, and the whole entire coffee table is covered with, I mean, I've never seen anything like this. It's like those chocolates from, like, you know, the big Whitman's chocolate boxes. There's those chocolates all over the table. There's cookies. It's just all sweets. Like, it was amazing. I was like, I want to be invited to a party like this. But then for some reason, they're all sitting around the table and having a good laugh and, you know, doing whatever.
We're learning about them a little
and
bit.
We're learning a little bit about them. Like, one of them was like an actress or whatever. And this weird thing happens where a trap door opens in the paneling of the freaking wall.
It's huge.
How do you, when you live in an apartment like that, how do you not notice that there's like a trap door?
Yeah, it looks like a doggy door.
It does look like a doggy door.
The trim of the wall.
It does. And so our antagonist, Mr. Kinski or whatever his name is, Gunther. He unleashes a huge rat.
He's got layers to it because first the trap door opens, then a sliding panel of like what looks like a little prison. The door slides by. Then a red light comes on and a rat is pushed out into the apartment. And he's got like a giant box with flip switches on it in the crawl space, in the vent.
It is so strange. Now, the problem I have with this particular scene is that there is no reasoning. So I don't understand if he was trying to unleash the rat to plant in their heads that there's a rat problem and that's the sounds that they're hearing from the vents, like the clinking, because he has this crazy little like idiosyncrasy that he has where he just starts banging on a metal ball in while he's in the vent to make sounds as though there's rats in there. Now, I don't know why a rat would ever make a banging sound, like a metal clinking sound.
He has this obsession with luring people in. And by the way, it seems to work because it's like a ball of yarn with a cat. It every time they tap, characters get obsessed. And I honestly think this guy would kill me in an instant because if I'm sitting in my place and I hear a noise, searching that damn noise.
You are so sensitive with noises. You can hear, you have like bionic hearing. You can hear stuff that I could never hear. I mean, it's crazy. You have like dog ears. You can hear everything.
I sneak sound effects into our podcast a lot of time that I don't even think people pick up on, but I do it for myself because I think it's funny. I sneak little noises in the backtrack. Someone actually pointed out to me because I think I left one of them going on for a long time. And then if you listen to that episode, you don't stop it. It's just the sounds of wind and rain.
That's awesome.
And I did that. And someone actually texted me. It's like, did you leave this in on purpose? And I was like laughing. I'm like, whoops. I forgot to cut it, but I put it in the whole episode. I think it was the episode on with Shawnee Smith.
Oh.
The Carnival of Souls remake.
Oh.
Because in that movie, they wouldn't stop with the liquid. And I was like, I have to pee through this whole movie. So I did a joke in the background. I put water.
Yes, yes.
Lots of running water.
Yeah. Well,
but no one, who's going to pick that up?
I'm curious now to see what sounds you're going to put in here, the clinking. But honestly, he unleashes this huge ass rat and they see it and they scream and they jump on chairs. But then they cut away and nobody they never talk about this again. It's like, okay, there's a rat in your apartment. Who's going to scooch this thing out? Who's going to either...
I think they did it for a scene where they need him and they invite him into their apartment a lot.
But they didn't show a scene
it. There's no sequence here, which would have been a good padding time to film a scene where he has to come in and be an exterminator.
Yes, but that wouldn't have made some sense.
Yeah.
You know, like they should have, if they're going to, instead of like the opening where they ran the freaking credits for 30 minutes, they could have put that scene in where that would have at least helped us a little bit.
Yeah.
Understand what he's doing this for. Like he wanted to be like needed by them or something, but he unleashed the rat and it went nowhere.
In fact, right before this party, I think there's a sequence in the hallway where he talks to Harriet, who is the one that gets all the sweets.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, sweets are my vice. Everybody has a vice. What's yours? And she's kind of like, she's saying it in a very flirtatious, like kind of inviting way where she seems to want something to happen. And he is very off. He just freezes, almost freezes. And she goes, are you okay? You're going to say anything? And he goes, no, I'm good. And he like leaves. But she seems disappointed by it. But she's kind of punking. She's like, what is women your thing?
Yeah, she's a little flirtatious, so, that one. But, I mean, it's creepy because the guy is just, he's just, ugh.
Oh, he's.
I can't. He just gives off those vibes like he's just going to, like, he's just a dirty, rotten old man, yeah. You know, like just dirty.
You have a sweet tooth.
Oh, they were on sale.
Is that for?
What is it? I can never find my key.
Oh, I have a master key. What would you do?
Oh, I'm such a goofball sometimes.
Thanks. Here you are.
Have I had a glass of wine, Carl?
Oh, no alcohol. I don't drink alcohol. It poisons the body.
Oh, it's a small vase, Carl. Everybody has at least a few vases. Don't you have any vases?
Like what?
Oh, I don't know. The usual. Drugs. Gambling. Fast cars. Women. Well?
Well?
Well, say something.
I had women. Okay? Didn't work out.
So that scene would have helped of what's going on here. Instead, we have characters just casually mentioned to people.
Mm-hmm.
We get some rats.
Yeah.
A lot of mice in the house.
It literally went nowhere. So it's like, okay, so there's rats in this building. Let me tell you something. I don't give a shit how cheap the rent is. I'm out. I am out. If I heard noises like that in the vents and all that stuff, and there was actually a physical rat that looked like a freaking bunny. It was the size of a bunny. In that apartment that he unleashed, I'm like, I'm getting the fuck out of here. Yeah. I don't care. I leave all my stuff. I'm leaving.
I kept thinking of like Adventures in Babysitting.
Wait, oh my God.
That's a jumbo
oh
sewer.
Oh my God. When Penelope Ann Miller's holding it. Oh, it's you want to kill this cute little, what did she say? Cute little bunny?
Kitten. A kitten.
Cute little kitten.
That's no kitten. That's a jumbo sewer
rat. She doesn't have her glasses. Oh my God. It's so funny.
The next scene is Sophie. The character who was wearing the lingerie and has the boyfriend, she sings.
Oh, God.
It comes out of nowhere. She plays a piano and she's singing. And it was jarring because
it made my skin crawl.
At this point, the movie was like, this is really interesting. I'm intrigued.
Yeah.
And then we have this song and I'm like, what the hell?
We don't have to love forever, just tonight.
We also see that he is watching outside now, and then we see the boyfriend, his name is Hank, and by the way, he's credited as Yahoo number 2 in Karate Kid. I just had to tell you that.
Oh my. Okay.
Yeah. He comes up to the window, but then he's like, oh yeah, I'm coming, Sophie, I'm coming to get you, right? And then as he goes up there, he sees Klaus.
Okay.
Gunther.
You're saying Klaus because that's his real name. Kinski is his last name, so we're saying Mr. Klinsky. We suck.
Isn't that the West Side Story character? So he sees her. They see
Officer
each other.
Officer Krupke?
That's it. Oh my God. Gunther.
I hate us.
I don't. I know other people. They're like, oh, they're making themselves laugh again.
Oh my God.
So Gunther is standing there. And he looks at Hank. Hank looks at him, and he pulls out a switchblade. And then Hank is like, what? And then the next thing we see is Sophie playing at the piano. And she goes, I know you're out there, Hank. And you hear him being murdered.
Right.
And she does just like, Hank, and nothing. And then we just move on.
Hank?
The next shot is two eyeballs
being dropped
into a glass of water, and they clink at the bottom of
you're like, that's again with you and the sound. You heard that. I did not.
They clink. It's their glass eyeballs.
It sounded like when you drop something in water and it just goes blink.
No, it hit the bottom and went ding.
I didn't hear it.
It's so bad. Okay, so we have a tongue in a jar and the two eyeballs.
We know the tongue belongs to the girl in the cage because she's got her tongue cut out.
And then I said to you, oh, I see what they're going to do with this. See no evil, hear no evil. So I said, yeah. Oh, I know what's going to happen next. You know, it's going to be an ear thing.
Nope.
No, it didn't happen.
Completely
it pissed me off.
Wrong.
So Hank is dead. Sophie doesn't mention it. We don't even see Sophie again, I don't think, after the sequence.
No.
The next thing we get, and this is a really odd one, there is a guy named Alfred who comes back home with Jessica. And they're dressed like they've been to a ball.
No, but they just went to the opera. Ballet.
They went to ballet. Yeah. That's right. And we just learned that Jessica is the dumbest person.
She's on just Earth. A bimbo. She out and out tells the guy, you know, hey, I'm with you here because I want your money. Like, she's just all about money, but she sleeps with him. But the funny thing is, like, okay, so the guy is older. He got what he wanted, right? Why does he feel the need to investigate the sounds?
So, yeah, I wanted to set that up. Yeah, he when he's in that place, we kind of find out slowly, like, she's a bimbo. She goes, I'm going to go change my clothes and whatever. And he's so intrigued. And by the way, this actor, I just had to point this out. This actor's name is Jack Heller. He was the maitre d' in the Beverly Hills Cop. That's what he's listed as.
Oh, my God.
And he's also the hotel worker, the manager of the hotel in Uninvited from a couple weeks ago.
No.
Yeah, so I laughed so hard.
That's him?
Yeah, it was just random one line.
Oh, my God.
I thought he has a lot of lines here.
Wow, yeah, he does. He does.
But, yeah, Alfred here, he when she's changing clothes, he goes and investigates her room. And you pointed this out, that mm-hmm. there's a photo of herself holding Monopoly money.
No, it was the Monopoly cards from, it said Park, it was like Park Place, Boardwalk, you know, those cards that you get.
And that was it?
That's what she was holding.
She was just holding a picture of herself holding those things.
Yes, I want you to see that scene so you can see it. I was like, wait a minute. First of all, I don't know how vain you have to be to have that. Tons of photos of just yourself around your apartment.
Yeah.
But the fact that you're holding Monopoly cards in the photo, like, she won a lottery.
Yeah.
I was like, those are Monopoly cards. Like, have I gone mental? Like, I want you to see it because you were looking down.
It is. That is strange. But I think even Alfred looks at it like, huh.
He did. He was like, what? Yeah.
But then he hears, because Gunther is watching in the air vent, he starts clinking a little spike. Mm-hmm. Against the thing. And I will say that earlier, he is watching the one that's the lead girl, I guess the lead girl. She's the one that just moved in. He's watching her with rats, and the rats are literally making sounds. So everybody goes, what the hell is that? Sounds like rats in the air vent. And then he just crushes it like it's a grape.
Yeah, I don't understand that. Why?
I don't know. But what I love about that sequence is that she's looking up into the air vent and he's just there. The light is actually hitting his face.
I mean, there's no way she would be able to see him. There's no way
you don't see his face.
It's so creepy.
Who hasn't looked into an air vent and can't see in there?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. But then in this scene, the same thing happens where Alfred, he's clinking it. Alfred's like, what the hell is that noise? So mm-hmm. he gets up on a chair and starts going to stare in. I don't know how they don't see each other. And then Jessica comes out of the room and is like, Alfred, what are you doing?
What are you doing, Alfred?
Oh, well, I just... I heard this, I can't quite describe it. Well, it sounded like a tap, tap, tapping.
Mice.
Mice?
Baby mice. You get used to it.
Like, okay. Here's the thing. I would not be so cavalier about that kind of thing.
We got mice.
She seems like a little bit of a princess. You know, she's hanging out with this guy. She's got money.
She actually pretty tells nice him, which I actually, and he likes it too. He's like, ah, you're very peculiar.
Yeah, you're very upfront about it. And like, so I would feel like she's like the type of person that would not want to live in a situation like this, you know? And she's just so like, yeah, whatever. So they have sex and then he leaves, but then he hears the noise again and he chooses, instead of leaving the building, he chooses to investigate this.
Well, he even leaves because he can't stand the noise. He hears it again.
Yeah.
And then he's like, I gotta get out of here. I can't, you gotta get this mice problem fixed.
Yeah.
You should really talk to your landlord.
Jessica, I just cannot make love with that sound. I'm really very sorry. And if I were you, I'd talk to your landlord about hiring an exterminator.
Yeah, so then he leaves the freaking apartment, and then he goes to investigate the sound that he's hearing, which is coming from Gunther's apartment.
Well, he has to walk upstairs and follow into someone's apartment.
Yeah, now mind you, he has a
clinking noise.
He has a cane.
I like your cane, Alfred. It's long, slick, and hard.
So he's like trying to walk with the cane up the stairs.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why would you exude all that effort just to go follow a sound? You got laid, get in your freaking Rolls Royce and just pedal out of here. Yeah. Why are you investigating this?
So true. And what I love is I thought, oh, I get it. Because the sound, and he's obsessed with the sound. It's going to be hear no evil. So he's going to cut his ears off. Nope. We just see his finger drop onto the glass.
Well, the door opens and we see nothing.
Okay, we don't see any of the murder.
Nothing. There's no murder. Like, we just see the finger there. And the only reason we know it's his finger is because he had this ring on.
That the girl liked.
And they, you know, I made mention of it. So it's like, okay. So why does he need this guy's finger? He's just collecting trophies. It's a bottom line. That's all it is.
Yeah.
There's nothing to that.
There, and I have to say, another sequence happens throughout this, and happens maybe twice. So we got to talk about this guy, because he's one of the biggest idiot characters I've ever seen in my life. The character's name is Joseph Steiner.
Oh my God, I forgot all about him already. Yeah,
so Joseph Steiner is a complete idiot. He apparently has tracked down our main character, Gunther, and he is apparently a survivor of the Holocaust?
Okay. So, no. His father, Joseph Steiner's father, was one of the people that allegedly the doctor killed when he was working at one of these hospitals.
He said, yeah, there were 63 patients that died under your care. One of them was my brother.
Yeah, there was like 63 people. Yeah, that it was his brother that he had all these people under his care at this hospital and mysteriously died.
Yeah.
And I guess there was like an investigation into him. He was some kind of like corrupt doctor or whatever. So he ran away. And just this Joseph Steiner guy, for whatever reason, wanted to confront him about that he believes that he killed his brother.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, what is the end result here going to be?
You are a murderer, Dr. Gunther. I can't prove it. Not yet, anyway. But during the 5 years you were the chief resident at the National Hospital in Buenos Aires, 67 people admitted under your care with routine illnesses died. And as you know, Dr. Gunther, one of those 67 was my brother.
Yeah, he says, it took me forever to track you down. And Gunther lets him in. They have a conversation.
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't remember. But he throws a picture down in front of Gunther of him as a child is dressed like Hitler.
He was dressed in a Nazi uniform. He must have been like, I mean, according to the picture, it looked like he was maybe 6 years old, and he was doing the whole, you know,
yeah, he's dressed
all that
the whole way.
And
yeah.
So we know that we find out here that Gunther's father was a Nazi, and he, I guess, recruited him into the whole Nazi regime also.
Yeah.
So that's what we learn. And
I mean, he basically kicks out this guy. Yeah. And the guy just leaves and is like, I'm going to get you. I don't know what his goal is. I don't know what he's going to do. But what's even more odd is that he goes to the main girl and goes and has a meeting with her. And she's like, hi, I'm the one that called you on the phone that wanted to meet with you. And she's like, okay, come in the house. I don't know you, stranger.
Yeah.
And he comes in, starts smoking in her house. She doesn't smoke.
He's like the most, like, he's an aggravating character, this guy. I don't like him at all. There's something, like, just a little too ballsy about him. Like, he goes into her apartment and tries to, like, basically interrogate her about Gunther to see what she knows about him. But I'm like, she literally just moved into this apartment 3 days ago. She doesn't know shit.
Yeah.
Like, why aren't you knocking on all the other doors?
And he just drops information on her. He just goes, I'm pretty sure Gunther is a murderer and he killed my brother. And she's like, I just moved in here. Why are you telling me this?
Yeah, like, it was just weird. Like, it's so strange. I feel like the introduction of that character was a huge waste because I don't think we needed him. Like, we could have easily found out that Gunther was a Nazi on our own because of movie and things that happen in it.
Yeah.
So.
But that's what we get. We get a creepy sequence in here of Gunther going upstairs and watching footage of Hitler and putting on a hat, putting on makeup.
Yeah.
He looks like the Joker.
He does.
It's creepy.
So this is how we find out that he is a Nazi.
Straight up Nazi. He actually says, Heil Gunther.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like he has a God complex and he is, I mean, straight up just freaking murderous Nazi.
Yeah. The girl kicks Joseph out of her apartment, rightfully so. And he's like, be careful. He's a killer. And then, of course, wouldn't you know it? Tappa, 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 tappa. Mm-hmm. Now Joseph's like, I got to follow that noise. So he goes upstairs. Now, we also see a sequence of Gunther making traps. And one of the traps is a harpoon chair seat.
Now, you and I both squeeze our butt cheeks together.
This terrified me. This terrified me.
I mean, I squeeze my butt cheeks hardcore because this... It's like you press a little button on the side of the chair and a harpoon comes through your asshole, okay?
Wherever, right between there.
Or up a whatever crevice, okay? And I literally was like squirming when I saw this. I'm like, oh my God, I can't even imagine. And of course, this plays out perfectly because we see Steiner go up to his Gunther's apartment. Now
breaks in.
He just walks in.
Yeah,
and this guy has he could just kill him because they're literally breaking and entering.
I agree.
But he decides that he's just gonna have a seat and look through his diary and just be invasive in someone else's apartment. So he gets what he deserves, ultimately.
The reason he sits down at this chair is because he sees an open journal with a little boat on it, and he's just like, I'm going to read this guy's journal, too. And then he keeps looking. Every time he reads a sentence about, like, hey, I'm a murderer and I like killing people, he looks around and goes, Gunther, are you here? Yeah. All right. Anyways, let me keep reading.
Nonchalant.
And then Gunther is standing there behind a curtain. And Gunther pops out and making this guy turn around and touch the button and harpoon himself.
Now, I was like literally like, oh my God, like I feel like more would have happened here. Like there would have been a better reaction to this.
Oh, the guy's. I think he's doing it pretty well.
He looked like he had to go to the bathroom.
I mean, he got a surprise and it's an awful surprise. Oh my God,
right up the ass.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God. Now here's the thing. Okay. This is the next sequence of events.
Everything that happens from here on, the movie just starts speeding to the finale.
It's just a freaking huge speed up.
Yeah.
Like the movie takes its time, like, getting to know these girls and, building up to things. But then the last 10 minutes of the movie is just bam, boom, bam. Like
right from this Joseph guy's death, the movie gets insane.
It just goes like it is on like, I mean, because ludicrous speed.
The next thing that happens is the lead actress comes home to her apartment and she hears the clicking noise, bing, bing, everybody keeps hearing.
Yeah.
And what we know is that noise is now those what are those things?
Stress balls that therapists have like they're metallic and they like go back and forth and hit each other.
Yeah, she can actually hear it, which is really comical for where it is. She hears it. She's led to the kitchen where she opens the refrigerator door where these balls are hitting each other and piles of rats are in the refrigerator with it.
Yeah.
And she freaks out. She backs up. She doesn't scream. She reacts pretty calmly, but like everybody is without rats being in your house. And then she backs up and there's a phone call. And so she instantly answers it. And the person says, what's in your bathtub? Who's swimming in your bathtub?
Well, we know it's Gunther.
And we're like, yeah, we can hear Gunther's voice. So she calmly puts the phone down and goes to look at the bathtub too. Not run out screaming.
No.
But she goes in the bathtub, and in the bathtub is Joseph dead in the water with a swastika carved into his head.
Mm-hmm.
And the little tugboat that he found on the thing swimming around, which I think they might have suggested meant something, but they didn't set it up.
It did have the Nazi symbol on it.
I thought they were going to do more with that, but yeah. So she finds him. Now she screams, runs out. And now when she gets into the hallway, everything she runs into, she hears, starts hearing the girl singing in the one room. Oh, and also a cage door shuts on the stairs, so she can't run down it. And then she goes into the one girl's room that's, she hears the singing, and we just see her from behind. We know she's dead already.
100%.
But the music's still playing, and she walks up, and we see that he took a clamp and clamped into her mouth, through her mouth, and then stapled her arm, her hands into the piano, and has a tape player playing her music. And she also drew the thing on her forehead, which is like, holy crap. So she runs out screaming again. Yeah. But when she goes to another apartment, it's the one girl, the girl that likes the sweets. She is somehow on a springboard, like a giant mousetrap. It closes in the doorway with her like impaled onto it.
I mean, all of this happens in maybe, I would say, 20 seconds time.
Yeah, just starts piling
like, now he had all this time to, you know, build up to this and make these traps and stuff. But, like, I feel like, okay, this is a little bit excessive because you're literally killing all these people at once. How are you going to explain this away?
Yeah, like, so many people moved out in this week.
Yeah. Well, how is he getting rid of the bodies?
Yeah, they're all missing.
Right. Where's Albert? Yeah. His finger was cut off, but Hank. Where's his body? Where's Hank? Where are all the bodies?
Yeah.
And so you see all these girls, they're all dead in different ways.
Well, she runs up the stairs. The only logical thing is he keeps doing things that lure her to go up the stairs. So she goes into the attic and sees the cage person. And helps free her. Well, that person pretends that she's still tied, locked up in the cage.
Yeah, but let me just stress that there are literally six apartments, no less than six apartments in this building. They all have telephones. Not once does she try to call.
She doesn't try anything. She doesn't scream for help. She never does that.
I would throw myself out the freaking glass window to get away from this guy.
At one moment when she looked at the window, he was standing outside there. Like, he just everywhere. He's teleporting.
He's Jason Voorhees.
Yes. All killers are in these movies. And she goes and helps that person, but then she goes to a giant spot that goes into, on the floorboards, goes into the vents. And that's how he travels around the vents. But she, for some reason, is clever enough to think, this might be a trap. Mm-hmm. So she drops her shoe in there, and it, like a piano wire, cuts the shoe in half instantly. Mm-hmm. So she's like, okay, now it's safe. I can go down there.
Yeah. First of all, I said, I would throw myself out of the attic window and take the risk. Look
for weapons in there.
She looks for no knives. Nothing. She doesn't call the police.
She doesn't even rip off the air vent flaps that could have been a weapon. It was pissing me off. I was like, get something.
Nothing.
She goes down in the air vent and crawls around. And what we get now is about a 5 to 10 minute crawl sequence throughout the vents where he starts putting rats in the vents to get her. Then he finally gives up on that because he's sick and tired of this shit. He gets down there and he has a boogie board, a wheeled boogie board that he can travel the air vents on like roller skates. And he just goes, wee!
Oh my God. It's so funny. It's got wheels and stuff. I'm like, okay, first of all, like, how old is this building? How are you able to...
Did you pay attention to how many vents she passes? I'm like, how many rooms are in here? There's how many apartments?
Less than, she passed no less than between 6 and 10 air vents in her journey.
He's only got 4 tenants, and there's about 50 air vents in a straight path. Sometimes they go roll off the sides. I'm like, where are they now?
Yeah. It's crazy.
And it's all looped. It's all big circle because he's able to get on a board and travel like on a roller skate at her. It's funny. I'm like, how?
And I like, no, he was going off. Fast too. I'm like, wee.
Yeah. It just shoots at her. She finally gets out of the way when he's skating at her, and she gets up into the attic again. And we're back in the attic again to have an entire like slow standoff where the girl that stayed in the cage to pretend just is out. It doesn't matter. Which I thought she was going to use the chain to sneak up on him or something.
Yeah, nobody tries to hurt this guy.
Instead, he fakes his own death by pretending that he was harpooned, but he had like a fake knife in his
like
chest.
A harness.
So they think they're safe. So they go to the phone to finally call somebody. And then he's just there. And now he walks toward her. She grabs his gun that we see after the whole movie. And she starts clicking at him.
Because it was like the one bullet.
Empty chamber, empty chamber. He keeps walking and laughing. We finally see we hear a gunshot. And what we see is the gun on the table in that checkered board room. And we're slowly panning up. And all we hear is him say, if it happened, you know, so be it. And I was like, I think I like this movie.
That was the end of it.
Yeah, that was the end of the movie. And I was like, I like that ending. I like that clever shot. I'm a little more impressed about this movie than I think I ever thought I could be.
I think that we like it a little more than we should.
It's especially since the three we watched before this leading up to this were such shit. This movie actually has interesting ideas, a very, very creepy lead actor.
Yeah, and now that you tell me all that stuff about him, I feel even worse.
It's even worse, I know, while I was reading. But the actor, he's doing a damn good job in this. He is very spooky. It might have just been him. Hey, they got him drunk and just let him loose in the movie and do whatever you want. Whatever it is, he is very spooky in the movie. And it works. And I think I'm going to say this right now. Of course, this is the best movie of the month.
Oh, 100%.
Without a doubt.
Yeah, 100%.
This is a high point.
Yeah, we definitely ended good, which I was hoping we would do.
We ended good, and I have a thought, and I've had this thought at this director's other two movies. I, for a long time, have said, you know, people always say reboots, remakes. What do you think about them? And I said that sometimes remakes can really work, and we've seen it happen on movies that are kind of cheesier, lower budget, kind of fast vehicles get remade into these really clever movies. The Fly, The Blob, you know, those kind of movies. The Hills Have Eyes, the stuff like that. They really expand upon it and make it really all work. This director's other movies, I feel like they're the exact same movies that I would say these are the kind of movies you should remake. Because there's something here that's very clever. Tourist Trap, Puppet Master, the first three Puppet Masters have some really interesting stuff going on in them, and they're not exactly maybe working, but they could make something really cool out of that. And the same thing goes with Tourist Trap and this movie.
They could definitely remake Tourist Trap. We've been saying that for years.
I feel this is exactly like Tourist Trap to me. They could definitely expand upon some of the ideas in this.
I mean, what is the obsession with Nazis, though?
All like three Puppet movies. Master, well, no, not Tourist Trap, but the Puppet Master does have a Nazi.
Like, what is it?
Well, it's always like, who is the villain that we're allowed to go after? Nazis always stand out.
I mean, I guess, yeah.
They're the ones that are, without a doubt, wrong.
Well, yeah.
So, you know what I'm saying? Like, they're the ones that we're allowed to say, yeah, they're pieces of crap. We're allowed to tear them down.
Yeah.
And so, if they're the villain, which I like Puppet Master 3 a lot, is that they're kind of saying that there's a whole lore that the Nazis are the bad guys, the puppets actually are good guys, and that could be, it's like a little tying lore. I really love that. I know a lot of people might not like the lore. They just want a straightforward horror film. I don't really like that. I like story. I like stories in my horror films. Like, I like a reason. Tourist Trap had that too. There's some weird stuff going on in there. And this movie has that too, where I really think the idea could be expanded upon, because I didn't hate this film.
No, I didn't hate it. No, I didn't hate it at all. What would you give it score-wise?
That's the thing, right? Right now, I think on IMDb, it's at a 5-something.
It's at a 5.3.
And I think I can see why that's at a 5. It's a film that is missing stuff.
Yeah.
But it is so close to being a good film that I think the 5 makes sense.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a 5 for sure.
I really did not mind this film. We're laughing about some of the things about it, because it's like, you know, there's just some bizarre choices. Like, how do these you know, how does this air vent work? Why the rats? Why does everybody obsess with noises? Like, but yeah. Then I'm sitting here going, you know what? I probably preoccupied by that damn noise too. Oh my God.
Yeah. You can't, I mean, you wake up from a dead sleep if you hear the fan, like,
oh, the fan bothers me. Yeah. But, that's the whole thing. But
yeah.
And that's the thing that I'm like, oh, that's so clever. And this villain is very spooky. And the more you get, and then those really artistic attempts at with him with the gun and in that room, if that room is metaphorical, I don't know, but I think that that's, and the way it ends, it's a perfect foreshadowing throughout the movie of him doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And him saying, if I finally die, like, good, so be it. It's in God's hands, kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And I kind of really, really like that clever idea. And I know how it could be fixed. This could be fixed by having the Joseph character be more of a detective character.
Right.
Or something like that. Or having him be more important. He's just a throwaway character.
Yeah, he is.
And this movie's clever, though, in the right ways, where we're always talking about with the victim characters. Because you want to set up victim characters. You want to have these creepy moments. That's what a horror movie does. And when you don't have those victims, you kind of feel like there's something missing. You need the spooky,
mm-hmm.
and you need those, like, creepy blood moments and stuff like that. And so they set up some random characters here, like Hank and Alfred, that I was like, oh, okay. They're cleverly figuring out a way to get a new person in here.
Yeah.
Which a lot of movies don't.
Yeah. They really don't. They don't even care most of the time.
Yeah. Like, Evil Bong was just like, eh.
Yeah.
And same thing with Doll Graveyard. It's just like, no one even comes in. It's just these people. And that's all you got to deal with. Yeah. And they're all stupid. And this stupid. Is like, I know who they are. They might be like one dimensional characters.
Yeah.
But not bad.
No, not bad. I mean, the girl made some poor choices by not going out the window or not calling the police, but...
Oh, yeah, she's very underacted. You know. Like, and I think that she's being told... sometimes an actor will probably say, hey, wouldn't this person do this in this situation?
Right.
And they're probably like, don't do that, because then it'll open a whole can of worms. Like, where's next door? How far are we from another building? How come no one can hear anybody scream?
Right.
Yeah. So... That's how you fix it. Those kind of little tweaks.
Yeah.
What an interesting one.
This is an interesting one for sure. Fives from both of us on this. This is our highest rated one of the month.
Yeah. In a while, actually, in the podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. This is a high rated one for us. This is my segment now of why we can't have nice things. Well, I'll read out two extremes of online reviews, a 1 10-star and a 1 1-star, as proof that people can't review movies at all. They ruin everything. So
you said that with such enthusiasm.
No, sure. Because it's like these people. But actually, these ones are not that bad. Here we go. We're starting with a 10. Another great horror flick you may have somehow missed in the 80s. Klaus Kinski's performance is, as usual, well beyond the expectations of the film, and as always, in another world beyond the accompanying cast. But that isn't to say the notion of a creepy ex-Nazi landlord crawling around in the ceiling and spying on and killing pretty college girls isn't a good one for horror. Just that, if somebody else had tried to pull it off, it would never have been so much fun. Perhaps part of the problem with this movie getting the attention of horror fans... none of those I know had seen Crawl Space before I recommended it, has to do with marketing. The box gives it the appearance of something more akin to drama or even mystery. If the designers had done something so simple as put Kinski on the front cover, dressed in his Nazi costume, applying lipstick to those big lips of his, this movie would have received a lot more attention. I agree with that. I think that it would have... because it's just creepy and off-putting.
Yeah.
That was a 10 out of 10. So number 1 out of 10 here. 1 out of 10. This is just titled Ugly.
Okay.
An ugly, mean-spirited horror movie directed in a detached, hallucinatory style like Phantasm. Klaus Kinski is repugnant as the sadist. His performance is garbage. Whoa. But can you blame him? Just softcore enough to make it to DVD. 1 out of 10.
Wow.
I think that's really, really harsh and doesn't make any sense. It's nonsensical.
I don't really understand. I mean, he's like, maybe it's a little subdued, the performance, but it is exactly what it's supposed to be. You feel creeped out. And
yeah.
He's just very off-putting.
He is.
And so it works in that sense. Like, that's exactly what it should be.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a harsh
one. I don't like that review at all. I think that's a bit... I mean, if anything, he was the highlight of this movie.
Yeah. I mean, everything hinges on him, and I'm surprised. I definitely can't imagine to 10 and the 1. I think there's enough here to warrant not being even remotely bad, like the ones we've watched, like Sasquatch Hunters last week.
Yeah.
It's like, you watch that movie and you go, oh, this is what a director shouldn't do. And then you watch this movie and you go, okay. I can see this guy trying to go for things.
Yeah.
It's not overdoing it. It's not going above. You know, I think of movies like Heretic recently in the theater. And I go, something like that could really benefit in a movie like this.
Mm-hmm.
Really artistic shooting of the scenes, making it creepier, making you feel odd. And I think that we've seen some remakes that understood that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this movie probably could have used that, a little more of an artistic eye.
Yeah.
But it's straightforward enough. He probably 86? Didn't have all the cameras. Yeah. It's Charles Band production. I mean, come on.
The budget's not there.
Except his 80s films.
I mean,
they're always inventive and interesting. Tourist Trap is another one of his. So it's like,
they are always different. They're pretty cool. But I don't know. I feel like you didn't have to really bring in the Nazi thing here. I feel like you could have just made him a creepy old man with some kind of like past trauma or something.
I don't know. That Nazi thing really adds
but
to the
It does work, but they didn't need it. I think they could have just, you know, but it doesn't matter because it worked. But it made him seem more completely like deranged and off the hinge.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I had a good time with this movie.
Yeah.
This was the winner of the month by far, Ken. So good job.
I'm surprised and I'm happy that we got a bunch of actual trash for talking trash and then got one little present.
Yeah. It was like, we really, you know, the universe is just saying, we really appreciate the two of you suffering like this over the last 3 weeks.
Here's a little bonus.
So here's just a little gift just to raise your spirits. So that's basically what we're going for here. I really definitely... this one was the highlight of the four movies that we watched, for sure. So with that, I will say thank you to Ken, that's at Viking Ken on Instagram, for recommending these four movies. We had a rootin' tootin' good time watching them.
Yeah. And I feel, thank you so much, Ken. Thanks anybody who wants to send us suggestions. I would love to hear all the suggestions. I would love to hear themes or whatever, but speaking of themes, and you're saying you're in a high note and you're really happy about it. And I think that next month we should destroy that.
Oh, fuck. What are we going to do?
We're going to celebrate Chuck Norris's birthday.
Oh.
We're going back to what we talked about before. Should we look into Chuck Norris's movies?
Oh.
So I got four choice numbers for you, Joe.
Okay, let's do it. I'm here for it. I'm all in. I'm here with you in this crazy podcast life.
Do you have any parting thoughts on Crawl Space?
Yeah, man. I mean, I think it was pretty different. It was more artistic than I thought it would be. With the directing and stuff. You know, I thought they did a lot of different things than any run of the mill 80s horror or slasher thriller would do. It was fun. It was fun. Although they did do the final girl thing.
Yeah, I think they like, could have really built her up. She could have been more interesting. Same with the other characters, because we didn't even mention that when she was in the attic, the other girl just fell onto her. That was it. They didn't even show how she was killed. She just fell.
Yeah, no, she just felt like it.
It didn't matter.
I feel like if you're going to show one kill, you should show them all, because, you know, we're already on the train. We're already on the train and we want to see everything.
Yeah.
So you've already got us roped in on this, because he's just so creepy, this guy, this murderer. And we want to see it all. So you can't just cut and paste and decide which ones you want to take out and put in, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you got to show us all. It's all or nothing. That's the way I see it.
Yeah, I agree. And And you want that kind of stuff. And mm-hmm. I'm shocked it didn't go all the way with it.
Yeah.
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 And it would have made it a perfect hour and a half. But I think at this time, they were telling people shorter the better, easier, get them out.
Yep. I agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe that's what it was. Like, get me that hour and 20. You know, it'll fit perfectly in there.
Yeah.
And especially with maybe like a double feature or a matinee type thing where they had the double movies. I don't know if that's what he was doing. I don't know why he was doing this. And I always wonder in the 80s, because I would, you know, be too young to remember this, but I wonder how, if Charles Band movies were like really advertised in commercials. Like, I can't imagine it, you know?
No, I can't imagine that either.
Yeah.
I can't. No.
It always makes me question it, because I'm like, how are these movies, how do these ever get distributed? You know, like, who, and this one actually had, what was it? Was it 20th Century Fox in the beginning?
Did it?
What's the one with the lion? That's what it was in the beginning here.
Isn't that MGM?
Oh, MGM. Okay. Yeah. So it was MGM. And I was like, wow, they put this out?
Oh my gosh.
Very surprised about that. Yeah. But yeah, that's my last thoughts on this.
Yeah, same. You know, it was a good one.
So yeah, everybody, thanks for listening as always. And if you have a suggestion, if you have movies you want us to see, the worst movies ever made, I'd love to hear them. Hit us up on Instagram at Just Another Movie Night and Joe at The Crafty Misfit. We're always ready to listen to anybody's opinions, even if it's ones that tells us, hey, you guys suck. I love it. So until next time, have a good one. Bye.
Hello? I came to see about the vacant apartment.
It's been rented. Creep.